Think you're too late to plan for an amazing retirement? Think again. This podcast, episode number 142, will bust the myth that time is the only ingredient for a secure retirement. We'll show you how strategic planning and smart savings habits can turn your golden years into a champagne celebration and not a budget-wrought headache. We'll provide actionable tips so your golden years sparkle.
And now, Money Matters USA with Fred Sage.
And you also need to work with your advisor to create multiple income streams.
You're at the right place for information every week regarding all the components of a successful retirement plan.
Asset allocation is really a driving force for how much your accounts are going to grow.
Fred Sade is a financial fiduciary and retirement specialist.
I have to put the client's interest ahead of my own pocketbook at all times. I must be able to justify why I'm making the recommendations.
Money Matters USA with Fred Sade. Fred Sade.
What if you were a little late getting started preparing and saving for retirement? Certainly understandable. We have other things like raising a family and kids in college and things like that. But Fred Sade has some good tips for you in boosting those savings in this 142 episode of Money Matters USA. Fred Sade, founder, managing director of this fiduciary firm of the same name. Fred holds a PhD in economics from Duke University. And for a long time, Fred has spread the word everywhere way he can in strategies that involve around his area of focus in the financial universe, and that is retirement. So, Fred, we're going to take a look at this. Let's say in your 50s, you're getting started. What can we do? One thing is, and we all, you know, probably know that once you hit the age of 50, you can increase your contribution limits. Plus, starting next year with Secure Act 2.0, Fred, there's another age bracket, 60 to 63, that lets you put even more in.
Yes. All right, so let's start with if you're over 50, you can make catch-up contributions to the extent that these are permitted by the Internal Revenue Service. So let's talk about a 401k, 403b, 457. The contribution limit, the maximum limit, is $23,000. But if you're over the age of 50, you get another $7,500. And if you're in a 403B and you have 15 years of service, you get another $3,000 of catch-up. It gets a little bit more complicated with simple IRAs, which are anything but simple. They're misnamed. Or the SEP IRA. So far as individual IRAs and Roth IRA contributions, the total contribution limit for this year is $7,000, and you get an additional $1,000 of catch-up. So if you can possibly utilize these limits, then it makes sense for you to be able to do that if you can. If you can't, then certainly contribute up to the match limit of your employer. And if you are in a time crunch, then being able to contribute more is going to be very, very significant because obviously you won't have compound interest working for you for a longer period of time. But maybe you will if you have to work longer. But the point is, the more money you can put away, the better off your situation is going to be. And quite frankly, your future self is going to say thank you, thank you, thank you for being prudent and putting away this additional money.
Absolutely. Sending it to your future self. And if you did get started a little late, let's say in your 50s, saving for retirement, should we consider being maybe a little more aggressive in our investment strategy?
You know, that's a very difficult question to answer. Mm. I know there is a theory out there, a truism, if you will, that additional risk generates additional reward. But that may not really be true. You really have to look at your risk tolerance and your risk capacity. Because I had people say to me who were very much in the situation that we're discussing, I want to take more risk with my portfolio so I can get more earnings. And then you put them through the psychometric risk tolerance or risk capacity that we use, and we find out that they're largely risk adverse. So what do we have to concentrate on? Yeah, I mean, being able to get income is in part dependent on how much assets you have and how much income you can purchase with those assets. But on the other hand, there are very efficient ways that you can generate income without taking a massive amount of risk. And you have to look at it because you're in your 50s or a little over, say 53, 4, 5, whatever it may be, but you're in that zone here where you cannot afford to risk a lot and you have to take chips off the table. So you're really concerned about not only gains, but losses, because if you're in your 30s, there's plenty of time for you to make up and recover. But once you're in your 50s, you don't have the luxury of time. So you have to be more prudent and more cautious in determining how you're going to address the problem. So the taking more risk for more reward could be a disaster because you might wind up losing a very substantial amount of the money, the assets that you have spent time accumulating mm-hmm. without adequate time for recovery. And you may not be in a situation where you'll be able to work longer at your current job. You may just hit the wall at some point and say, this is it. Now, how do I manage with it?
Yeah, I mean, time is a big factor here because, I mean, we opened up with if you started a little late, you've mentioned that, you know, it's less time to tap the magic of compounding interest. So speaking of time, should we look then at delaying retirement a little bit?
Yes, if you are able to do that, the single most important thing you can do is make additional contributions. And if you need the additional time because you can't fully take advantage of the additional elective deferrals, then working an additional 1, 2, 3 years can make an enormous difference for you in that you're putting more money away. And even if you're telescoping, you're shortening the amount of time that the money is at work for you, then at least the additional money is there. It at least can go to work for you. And then it's a matter of figuring out the strategy that will maximize your income, if that's what you're trying to accomplish, and also grow your strategy. And let's not forget that longevity is an enormous issue here, because the increased longevity magnifies the stress that your existing assets are under and the longer payout periods that are required. So, you know, since 2013, the 4% rule has been disregarded within academic circles, and all the research within academic circles since 2013 is on variable spending patterns, because we know that the 4% rule was created at a time, you know, when interest rates were low, growth rates were low, and you with a 50-50 portfolio, you can manage and get out 30 years. Well, what happens if you live 31, 32, 35 years? Well, you're in trouble because you're down to your last dollar. So, yeah, Wall Street may talk about the 4% rule on a 60-40 portfolio, but that's contrary to the academic research that's going on right now, which completely has disproven the validity of the 4% rule.
Now, we can't rely totally on Social Security in retirement, but should our claiming strategies in Social Security take into account that we may need to rely on it a little more?
Yes. Absolutely. There's no question. There's no question about it. There's really very important research in which David Blanchett of PGIM and formerly of Morningstar has participated in, and the research is available. It's very high quality research, and it's very, very disconcerting because it suggests, with substantial proof, that depending on how a person is compensated, whether they're compensated on assets under management, commissions, time, hourly, however they're compensated, that may be influencing the recommendations that they make on Social Security claiming strategies. Now, Social Security was never intended to go out 30 or 40 years. It was built at a much different time period. It was reformed at one point. And it needs to be reformed again. In 2023, the Social Security actuaries published a report, and you can Google it. It's easy enough to find. And it will give you the realistic proposals that are being made. And some of these proposals could be done quickly, and some of these will have to be done over time. But one of them is to raise the retirement age across the board to 70. Now, that could be a real problem because you have to figure out how to get to assets that are going to bridge the time. And what the research that I just mentioned by David Blanchett and others shows is that depending upon how the person is compensated, there's a strong indication as to what type of strategy they are going to advocate with respect to Social Security. This is very, very disturbing research that was published very recently. As I say, it's available online. The other issue here is the distribution strategy, and there are different distribution strategies as to how to use qualified assets, non-qualified assets, if you have them, and when to use Roths and how to use Social Security. So all of these require a well-done strategic plan, and you really have to get into the tax issues that determine the longevity of these portfolios. But in addition to that, you really have to have enough of a mix of assets to figure out how you're going to address this, to game this thing by going to a Social Security Administration site, putting some numbers in, getting something out, because that's just a silo. It's in isolation, and you really have to integrate that and combine it with your other assets that are going to be earmarked for income, and to see what the tax implications are from that distribution order. It does make a difference which asset in which order you take the distribution. And Social Security, for the majority of Americans, is the groundwork, the base for income. And for people who are high income earners and think, Social Security is no big deal, it is a big deal, not merely for income that you don't have to generate from mm-hmm. your portfolio, but more than that, because of the tax implications of Social Security and how Social Security bends and alters the tax system. Yeah. So those are my concluding thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. A lot to consider with Social Security. We're looking at, if you, let's say, just started saving for retirement and you're in your 50s, not to say considering downgrading your lifestyle at all, but what about the possibility of either downsizing your home or relocating?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because we're discussing, my wife and I are discussing it right now. When we bought this house, our kids had completed college. They were in professional school. And they said, you know, we'll come back to visit, but we're on our own now. And, mm-hmm. and we're not going to, you know, live with you any longer. So we downsized to a house that's probably half the size of the house that we own. And mm-hmm. now we're looking at it and saying, you know, do we need this much house for two people and two dogs? So we're very seriously thinking, you know, of purchasing a condo, you know, in a 55 and over community, mm-hmm. as long as I can bring both my dogs with me.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think that people need to consider that. You know, sometimes people say, oh, we have so many memories in this house, and our kids and our grandkids come to visit, you know, and the kids' rooms are the way they were. It's like a snapshot frozen
in time.
it just doesn't make much sense. It makes, you know, even if you like your town and your area, you can always move to, you know, smaller digs and in the same town or in an adjacent town or within the same, you know, in the same county. So this can make a lot of sense for you.
Yeah, definitely. Well, now, as we are hopefully super saving, how do we factor in future health care costs?
Well, every study that we have shows us that health care is either the number one or the number two cost in retirement. And I think the number one cost is the more creditable study. So as you age, health care is really important because you're going to have to pay for it, and it has other implications. So let's say that you are pre-65. You have three choices. Number one, you can take COBRA, but that's expensive and you may not want to. Number two, you can take advantage, benefit from the Affordable Care Act. Now, that's going to be a high deductible plan, and you have to decide, well, maybe I'm eligible for the Affordable Care Act subsidy. Can I control my income to the point where I qualify for the subsidy? Or do I want to do a Roth conversions? If I do the Roth conversions, I'm not going to be eligible for the ACA subsidy. But there's a third choice that is not well known and is a perfectly viable choice, and that is renewable temporary insurance, which is renewable on an annual basis until you become Medicare eligible, which is 90 days before your 65th birthday or 90 days after your 65th birthday. And the fact of the matter is that the short-term meaning it's 1 year, renewable coverage is a very viable alternative, and it does not necessarily blow you out of the Roth conversion strategy. So I think you really have to have a plan of how you're going to deal with healthcare costs, healthcare expenses, and you can't limit that just to healthcare itself, which can be very expensive because people misunderstand the fact that what Medicare actually covers and what it does not cover. And it certainly does not cover long-term care nursing. Even though skilled nursing is supposed to be covered for over 100 days, you'll never get 100 days of coverage under the Medicare program. You'll be lucky to get 20 to 23 days of coverage. And I'm not just blowing smoke here. That's the way it works. So we do Medicare planning, we also are very concerned about the IRMA costs. IRMA stands for Income-Related Monthly Adjustment Amount, and IRMA is not your friend. This is not my cousin Irma from the 1950s television show. IRMA is an excise tax there's a separate table for Part B Bravo and Part D Delta. And those excise taxes are non-deductible. So you really have to look at that and factor that in. And then there's the cost of long-term care, assisted living, home health care, whatever that may be. And you're either going to pay it out of your pocket, out of your income, out of your assets, or you're going to have coverage of some kind. Now, New Jersey is one of the few states that allows short-term, that is 1 year long-term care coverage. Which is very, very valuable because it gives you time to adjust income and to do some planning. This kind of planning needs to be done before the event happens. Now, there is crisis planning, but you don't really want to be in that situation if you can avoid it.
And finally, on this topic on the podcast, debt can certainly prevent you from super saving, so you need to really get a How do you act as a coach for people in helping to eliminate debt strategically?
Well, the first thing we do is we need a budget, and we need a commitment on how the expense, what people are going to spend their money on. And then we have to work with them to reduce, wherever possible, the expenses that are adjustable. Also, we will work with firms that are legitimate debt reduction firms, so we can set up payment plans for them. Also, we want to make sure that they don't blow out their credit cards again, take their credit cards away from them. Necessary, we leave them with one credit card with a very low amount, say $200, $300 for, you know, for a some kind of bill that they just need to pay on credit because they just don't have the cash flow. But over time, we find that within 1 year, we can get to about either a balanced budget or to get to a slight surplus, and then we keep on working those debts down, and to get people to live within their means. So when they go into retirement, more people are taking debt into retirement, housing debt, educational debt, debt for kids' college, professional education. We're seeing a trend now in Gen Xers and Gen Z, where they're, particularly in Gen Z, where they're not necessarily looking at going to college or professional school. They're looking at going into the trades. And you can have a very nice lifestyle and a very nice living, comfortable living, learning a trade, and whether it's electrical, plumbing, carpentry, whatever it might be, computerization, artificial intelligence, all of that. I mean, it's all available. I mean, and it can start out in the community colleges if that's the direction you want to go to. And we've employed and continue to employ people out of community college programs that help us with our IT. Now, we also use an outside IT firm as well for the really complicated stuff, but stuff that isn't as complicated. We use community college students, and they do a fine job, and it's a great experience for them, and it helps us too. So I mean, there is opportunity, but you have to be committed to it, and it's very hard to do that because we live in a consumption economy. We're bombarded constantly with buy this, buy that, stuff that we don't necessarily need. But you know, the discipline is necessary because we're in the process, and I don't want to say too much about it, but we're in the process of reinventing the nature of work and how people get compensated for that work. So I mean, this is now an ongoing beyond an academic debate. I mean, this is in the public square now, and this is something that is going to happen over time.
Yeah, we're seeing it, we're experiencing it, and also in community colleges, that's could be such a smart way to go. And if nothing else, to get the first 2 years out of the way more cost efficiently.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
not to mention early college, high school.
Yeah, that's true. And the other,
I did mention it.
undergraduate and community college, get your transfer credits, lower form, go to a decent undergraduate school. It doesn't have to be, the Ivy League. And then if you're going to go on for professional training, that's when you're looking at going, to a prestige school. But you can get a very fine education in many of the liberal arts schools that are out there, and don't cost an arm and a leg.
No, absolutely. Well, great topic. So listen, if you don't feel panicked, as Fred has displayed, there are just things to consider and strategies. If you're a little late in the game saving for retirement, and you can call Fred, 800-593-8188. 800-593-8188, or online at moneymattersusa.net. Having a secure retirement takes planning and time. When we come back, we'll outline ways you can help ensure you have a retirement worth celebrating.
Hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, and fire. These are serious situations that we plan in advance for. The volatility of the market can be just as devastating. Get a plan meant to last, properly balanced, fully customized. That way, when a market correction does occur, you'll be ready. Call Fred Sade at 800-593-8188. That's 800-593-8188.
We're back with Money Matters USA. I mentioned moneymattersusa.net. There's a lot you can do there. First off, you can hear the other podcasts we have, and there are 141 other ones, and we have a write-up on each, so it's listening on demand. Click podcast. When you do click podcast, in addition to that, you'll see the drop-down for Stump the Guru. That's where you can submit a question to Fred. We're, I'm sure, due to get another one in here, someone else trying to stump Fred. So Stump the Guru is there. And definitely the Red Light Program tab and learn about the Red Light on the Dashboard program. That's at moneymattersusa.net. All right, so we're going to look at some ways that you can help, as we said, ensure that you have a strong retirement. And a lot of the ways that Fred will talk to you about are things that he's already discussed on the podcast today, maximizing your retirement savings, reducing your payment obligations, downsizing your home, possibly, and taking Social Security wisely. But there's more, and this is a big one. This is the whole foundation, really, Fred, establishing those retirement income sources. What can they be? How can you help people build them?
Well, first of all, there ought to be three sources. They should be tax-deferred, taxable, and never taxed. And the distribution pattern is really a mixture of all three. Now, that also includes Social Security. And there is a basic distribution pattern which is advocated by many of the large Wall Street firms, and some people will, it has a number of names. It's named after some of the big sellers of mutual funds and ETFs, but I call it the base or basic case. And this strategy is, I have to say that it's certainly a valid strategy. The problem with the strategy is that it will consume your assets. And because longevity is such a force multiplier, you have to have a longevity analysis to start with. So you have to have a good idea of what the probabilities are for you and your spouse or your partner to live to a certain age. Now, we don't look at longevity from your birth year. We look at it from your current age, and then we're looking at, then we're looking forward. So we want to know what are the probabilities, how high are the probabilities for both of you to live to a certain age, and for one of you who's going to outlive the other, what is the time frame for that lifespan? Is it 4 years, 5 years, 9 years, 15 years, 14 years? What is it going to be? And then we have to know, do we have to have the assets to go out for that period of time? So it's not unreasonable to say 25 years, 27 years, 30 years, 35 years, 40 years. All of these are within the realm of probability. So we are seeing life insurance products now go out to age 135. Or even 140. We see annuity products going out to age 125. So these can now be priced by the actuaries. This is not just icing on some imaginary cake. So it's important to get that distribution pattern. And so there are other distribution patterns out there that will extend the longevity. Then the only question after that is to agree with the individuals involved. What should we target? And what do you want your money to do for you? So if they say, we're not interested in leaving a legacy, we are not interested in any inheritances, then you know that you're spending down to the last dollar. If, on the other hand, they say, we want to leave an inheritance for our kids, our grandkids, to a particular charity, because we're charitably inclined and we want our giving to continue after our deaths, then you have a different problem that you need to solve. All these things are solvable. There are a lot of different ways to solve them, but it depends on the distribution pattern. The other thing that I'm going to remind listeners who've been following us for a long time is that I'm very much opposed to this concept of the nest egg. There's no such thing as the nest egg. There's a dozen eggs, and each egg represents something else, mm-hmm. different asset class, different tax class. And the question is, which asset do you tap in which order in order to maximize your income, minimize your taxes, and extend the longevity of the portfolio?
So it's not just one egg, it shouldn't be just one.
No, it's not. That's the misnomer, that it is one egg. It is not one giant egg. It's 12 eggs to the dozen. And you have to look at each egg as an asset class. What type of asset is it? What is the tax treatment on that asset? How will it interact with Social Security? And how will it interact with the tax system? You have to remember the tax system changes the instant you turn age 65, and it changes again once you turn Social Security on. That's another powerful reason for deferring Social Security as long as it's humanly possible, and not look at it as an account. And a few episodes back, we talked about a Social Security scheme which claims that you have a Social Security account in your name with code numbers down at the Federal Reserve, and you can draw on that account. That's absolute utter false. There is no such account. It's not a bank account. But understanding Social Security, not trying to do this in your head, and not being able to have the interaction is vitally important. And frankly, you know, the Social Security Administration cannot give you advice. Their people are prohibited from advice. Their online calculators don't give you the interaction. They just give you a hypothetical of what you might be able to expect. That's it. That's all they are allowed to do.
Well, given that it's more than one nest egg, then rebalancing sometimes being necessary. How often, those you work with long term, how often do you meet with them to look at even whether you need to rebalance the portfolio?
Well, we meet we have sessions once at the worst. It might be every 2 years. We do quarterly. We do a quarterly look. See, we take a look and see at the quarter, at the 6 month mark, three quarters the year. We need to see how much rebalancing is actually necessary. Rebalancing does not necessarily guarantee you success, and too much rebalancing and too much reallocation might be detrimental to your portfolio. David Blanchett, Dr. Blanchett, has done a really interesting study on rebalancing and being out of the market. And that's contrary to Wall Street advice that you should always be fully invested, stay the course, the money, your portfolio will come back. And Blanchett shows that is not necessarily the best advice. What happens if you miss the 10 best days? What happens if you miss the 10 worst days? And a overall combined allocation. So, I mean, this is very, very interesting and recent research. So rebalancing is necessary, and it needs to be done periodically. But there's a big but here, and that is, what are you rebalancing? Because is this stocks and bonds? Are you using factor analysis? Are you using sector analysis? What is it that you are trying to accomplish, and how much out of your target ranges are you, and what is the impact? of that. So in our software, we are forward-looking because we want to look at different scenarios and different combinations to see what the impact is going to be. And we want to crush down on risk, and also how are we going to manage risk? And we have to take into account volatility. And of course, they're not the same. But the point is, we want to be able to get that rebound very quickly. And that means that we have to look at all of these things, including retesting for risk tolerance and risk capacity. But again, this is all about your attitudes toward money and what you want your money to do for you. How much control do you want over your money? People want control, but don't necessarily know how to get to it. And that leads us, to a different set of conversations that we do when we meet with people. We want people to have a wow, W-O-W experience, and that can only come when we're paying attention to what they want to accomplish with their money. Not what I want, not what somebody else wants, but they can actually get what they want, and they need to be listened to. And that's part of this wow experience that we want people to have.
Well, when Fred reveals strategies to you and how they could work for you, you could get that wow moment if you meet with Fred. Wherever you are, you can meet with Fred, 800-593-8188 to set it up, 800-593-8188, also at moneymattersusa.net. And when you go there, if you're going there to set this up with Fred, also check the red light program tab, the red line on the dashboard. Check the other podcast. Just click podcast. And there you'll see Stump the Gurus. If you got a question for Fred, send it. You may hear it on the podcast, Money Matters USA. We're back next week to drop another one.
Investment advisory services offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. Fred Sade and his guests provide general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and are not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell in any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with a professional specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to the securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. By contacting Money Matters USA, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.